How about your pastors? Do you appreciate them? Yeah. I always snicker at the introduction. They're always different. I wonder sometimes what's going to be said. Yeah, so it's always fun. Before I begin, really, the best half of Jay, the better half of Jay. So my baby, we're expecting our second great-grandchild. Yeah. So when look at me, you think, well, maybe we could believe that. Her, not a chance. Please stand up and let them see you. My baby. I think this is a great time. Obviously, it's a great honor and privilege for me. I do tend to move a little quickly, so I'm going to put it back a gear because I know we're translating. So I don't want to wear my translator out. They always wait for me in the parking lot and want to have a word with me, which I don't really like that too much because none of the big boys follow me out there for some reason. They're watching me everywhere else. So we're going to have to do that. I really love this morning, and some of the things I want to share as a springboard into the book of Acts. Please know about that particular book. That is not the end or the ultimate definition of what the Lord intended. It was the beginning. As with the outpouring in Acts chapter 2, it was not supposed to be the finale. It was supposed to be the start. Very much like the marriage feast at Cana. It was the beginning of the miracle. And so I believe the Lord is intending, as I will this morning, to relaunch us, if you will, back out to be who we're to be in the world without any fear, but certainly with great humility, great love, but great power and great demonstration of who he is. I believe that without question. So I love that you're going there. And I believe this morning is a, if you don't mind, a launch pad to what Pastor Sean will do next weekend and on. Dr. Mancari is going to be here, Linda. Yeah, he's sporting that California look, if you notice, with the hat on. Yeah. All of a sudden, he becomes a Californian. I said, you're still from Virginia, you know. Actually, from Pennsylvania first? Yeah, you're a Pennsylvanian. He denies that, but if you're watching from Pennsylvania, I don't mean anything by that. Matthew chapter 13. Excuse me. They are the parables of the kingdom of heaven. I'll move us through them a little differently this morning. A few verses, and then I just want to touch on each one of them. Chapter 13, verse 10. Thank you, Stephen and the guy. I so appreciate it. How about our worship team this morning? Appreciate it? Yeah, great job. Thank you. And the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak in parables unto them? And the answer said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Verse 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. Chapter 13, verse 3. This would be the first parable. Behold, he spake many things of them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. And while men slept, and the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and they brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder said, came and said unto him, did you sow good seed in your field? And where did these tares come from? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then be that we go and gather it up? And he said, no, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. They're both supposed to grow together. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in a time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you for first the tares, and then bind them bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 31, another parable, he spoke to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown is the greatest among herbs, and becometh the tree, so that the birds of the air can come and lodge in the branches thereof. Verse 33, a parable he spake to them, another parable he spake. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I'll come on down here to verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hidden in the field, that which when a man hath found it, he hideth it for joy. Therefore he goeth and selleth all that he hath to buy the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. The final one is the net, of course. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. So appreciate the honor and privilege you have given Linda and I to be a part of this great church, 13 years, and to be a part of the Franco family, this present leadership, this present day. Definitely a day where you're restoring all things back to us, even those that have been hidden in your heart. So this morning, Lord, I do pray for the revelation of Jesus Christ to be to us all. This incredible person that came, made like us, walked like us, lived like us, to bring something we had never seen before in the earth. Lord, that we might follow that pattern, that we may be as he was, be as he is. The revelation of the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven that came together in him. May the revelation of that kingdom that's been freely given to us, a debt-free kingdom, a kingdom that has no limitations, the limitations are off. May that kingdom become not only a reality and a revelation to us, but a full manifestation in every one of our lives. Yes. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The kingdom of God has always been here. I want to split this earth heaven. From the very beginning, we know it because we have this incredible historical book that the first thing he did was he created. Can you imagine the power of his sovereignty? The power of his voice. He just spoke. He didn't touch a thing. The power of his word and the power of his voice created the earth and the heavens. We know that. Then there was this chaotic moment. The world is now in chaos. It was dark and void and without form. I love this about our God. I don't think we have to worry about chaos or darkness. He immediately, excuse me, the air conditioning is hitting my throat. I'm good. Yeah, if I do a mint, it's going to fly out to somebody. Yeah, I'm good. No. Yeah, the water. No, I don't want that either because it's too cold. I'll work through this, okay? I got to get a little deeper. I've been talking a lot this whole week. He recreated. I didn't realize that he does this. Not only does he create, but by the power of the kingdom of God, he will recreate. It's an amazing moment. And he creates this incredible new earth that we now live in and now we see. He would come up to this time of Noah. The whole earth would be in this incredible, everybody did evil in his heart continually. And he saw this, and it's the beginning of a pattern. There's a dream up here. There was an ark, and he will give this pattern to this man. It is the beginning of many patterns. Moses will have one. David will have one. Ezekiel will have one. There's these patterns that came from the heavens to be built in the earth. And this is the first one. He builds an ark, and you know what happens, that the end of violence is by a flood. A flood will always bring an end to violence. He'll say to Moses, to Noah, I'll no longer flood the earth again with water, but to Moses he will say, I'll flood the earth with my glory. That's what we really need. That is the end of violence. Glory changes everything. But he'll go on at this moment, and the Tower of Babel will happen. But one of the greatest demonstrations is right here with Moses. You know the story. The people of God cry out. They had not seen him. They had not known the greatness of this kingdom, the power of his sovereignty. That's the kingdom of God. And they cry out to him, and he meets a man by the name of Moses, and this bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. And he says to Moses, amazingly, I've heard the cry of my people. I've come to deliver them. Moses kind of was stuttering because he's been in the wilderness for 40 years. He was like, I don't know if Pharaoh's going to go for that. And he said, yo, dude, just chill out, Big Mo. Just like that in the King James. He said, you tell my people, you tell Pharaoh, you tell all Egypt, I am God Almighty. And he will begin a demonstration of power unprecedented in our world from that time in many ways forward until the days of Jesus Christ, and 10 incredible power moves. He will bring the greatest nation in the world to its knees, and they will say to them, get out of here. And thankfully, he picked Jews because they took the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. If he took the Italians, we would have took the pasta, the sauce, and the garlic, for sure. There's no question about it. We would have said, we don't need gold and silver. As long as we can eat, we're fine. And these Jews came out, and you know, it was the big second pattern. It was beautiful. Moses built the tabernacle, and we're beginning to get glimpses of what the kingdom of heaven, this mystery, is all about. Because when he builds this, he makes it clear, I want to dwell with my people. I'm fine with visiting. I'm fine with sending rain. I'm fine with sending wind. But my passion is to dwell with them. It's always been heaven's passion, but nobody really knew. Nobody understood. Then we go along, and of course, if we come to Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah would have a vision. Jacob will have the first vision. Daniel will have visions. There'll be these visions and dreams that come from this place called heaven, but we haven't really known what it is about. We don't really know the heart and the passion and the desires of heaven. We don't really know what that kingdom's about yet. All we've seen is the power and the demonstration of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven. And we come to these moments. Elijah is incredible. And I want to say this to us, especially now. It's a famine. There's no food. I mean, the beasts are crying out. And there's a woman in Zarephath. She's not from Israel. And she has her little boy, and they got a little dough and a little oil. And she just is getting ready in her mind, well, we're just going to eat this and die. And you know the story. Elijah sees her and says, what up? And she says, who are you? And, well, it doesn't really matter. And I'm going to go to your house and eat. And I thought, what a bad attitude this guy has. He's going to eat first. But then I realized, though, when we consider God first, something happens, especially in giving. It's amazing. And so she goes for 3.5 years. People are starving around her, but this woman every day will have new oil and new dough. It is an incredible power. He will raise a man from the dead, a young boy from the dead. Elisha will raise 2 from the dead. Elisha will do the same thing. A woman, one of the prophet's wives, is there in debt, and he is dead. And she goes to Elisha, what should I do? And he says, what do you got? And she says, well, I got a couple pots. That's it. He says, go borrow pots. And every time she brought a pot back to her house, it was filled with oil. She was supposed to be an oil tycoon, but they ran out of pots. But isn't it incredible, though? She also was not of the family. She was of a different people. But this kingdom of God surpasses all kingdoms. No matter what's going on in the kingdoms of this world or this kingdom of God, it supersedes everything. It is not governed by the laws of this land, nor the laws of this community, nor the laws and the nature of our world. It supersedes it all. That's the power of the sovereignty of the kingdom of God. I love it all the way. I stopped at Babylon for a moment. I love these two stories. I'll just do the one. Come on, these three young boys, they've been there for 20 years. Nebuchadnezzar builds it, everybody bows, their cousins bow, their friends bow, their neighbors, everybody's bowing, they're not bowing. And Nebuchadnezzar says to them, you're not going to bow? Who is this God that will deliver you from my hand? Love this moment. Fiery furnace, you know, they throw them in there, they're in there dancing, the presence of God, take it to the gates, great, got a few things going, a little Bethel tune. They're just kind of having fun. Nebuchadnezzar, the fire's raging. This not the kid, the fire's, this doesn't even touch them. There's somebody in there with them, you know. There's a fourth man in there. Yeah. I don't do singing well, but you know what I'm saying. Nebuchadnezzar looks in. He doesn't know what's going on. He stands up and says, I got to tell the whole world there's no God that delivers like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is the power of the kingdom of God, but we have not yet seen the kingdom of heaven. It'll come to this time. Probably the darkest days in Israel's history is right here. Rome is ruling the world. I couldn't begin to tell you the darkness, the immorality of the Romans, how they treated people. They were a mercenary nation. Their slaves ran the country. They cared nothing about young men, young boys, nothing. He will grow up in this moment. In the fullness of times, He will bring forth his son. We've been hearing about it since the garden, that there would be a seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. We had no idea what this seed was. All of a sudden, this angel appears, and he says to this woman that you're going to be overshadowed, much like the earth that was void will be overshadowed, and that which is born in you will be of the Spirit, will be of God. A first moment in the history of mankind, something from the heavens is about to be in the earth. There have been patterns. There had been visions. There had been direction, but nothing ever came from here. We didn't know what the nature and the character and the disposition was having. We didn't understand. We didn't know anything about this kingdom of heaven. It was a mystery. We had no idea what was hidden there. Oh, he tried by the prophets to explain, even in the law. He tried to let the world know who he was, especially Israel, his people. That seed came. It was, if you don't mind me saying, it was like a mustard seed. It was only a seed in this woman, young lady by the name of Mary, was placed in her. We had no idea that that little seed, though very small, had the greatest potential of God the world had ever known before. We didn't know that. It was the first time that something from the heaven came into the earth and in a human being. It had never happened before. He clothed men, clothed women, strengthened men, conquered, showed power, but we had never seen this. It's the first time something from the kingdom of heaven, this mystery, was now in the earth. We know he was placed there. He would become the Son of the living God. We know that. What we didn't know was that he would be everything we are. He'd be just made just like us. Sometimes it's hard to imagine because when I grew up in the church I grew up in, he was this person that was untouchable. He was something of the other world. Well, he was. But he wasn't untouchable. He didn't come to raise the bar, yo. He came to lower it, that even some podunk punk like me could get to the bar. You know, he, 33 days old, he was there being dedicated. Mary looked at him. She didn't understand even Simeon's words that he was the one. She couldn't get it. And we see him at 12 years old, just a moment at 12, just these few moments. And for 18 years, we don't see him. I wonder sometimes that those shepherds that night, when the company of angels declared who he was, glory to God, good news had come to all mankind, not just Israel, all mankind. It all came there. We had no idea. I mean, they must have thought, well, Did we make a mistake? Did we not hear something wrong? I mean, 18 years. See, I didn't know. I don't know when it happened. Actually, I do. Before there was ever time, there was a lamb slain way back here in history. Before the foundation of the world, the lamb was slain. I wondered, I didn't understand why the lamb was slain back there. It was before Adam's failure. I didn't understand back there, but I realize now that the kingdom of heaven, it looked down into the earth and found a treasure. It was humanity. And they would sell everything to purchase it. We know when he came, he would give everything for the world. Everything. I didn't know that here, this kingdom of heaven was like a pearl of great price. That when he saw the pearl, he would sell everything for that pearl. I want you to know this morning that you are that pearl. I am that pearl. Yeah, we started out as a piece of dirt. That's how Jay LaRue found himself. That's how he found me, just a piece of dirt. You know what happens with that in that oyster, all this work goes on. And what appeared to be nothing but a piece of dirt became a great treasure. It is you, my brother, you, my sister. It's me, it's you. He sold everything to purchase us. I didn't know that was the nature of the kingdom of heaven. We couldn't see it. It was all about Israel. It was all about one people group. It was not about the world. It wasn't about anyone. It was about one people. And that's what was so difficult for them, because when this seed comes into the earth, it isn't about one people. He is going to come and demonstrate something out of the kingdom of heaven that the world had never seen before. They couldn't understand him because he was hidden. Now revealed. The kingdom of heaven was a mystery, now unfolded and revealed in the life of this one we're talking about. All of a sudden, he shows up at 30 years old. I had no idea the potential of the seed. It was no longer a seed. It was the full Christ. He was the full man grown. From this day forward, you know, he'd be beginning with miracles, turning water into wine. He was the first one to have not only the kingdom of God in him, but the kingdom of heaven as well. Two in one person. He had the power. He exceeded. He said, greater than Moses here. As great as the power was in Moses' day, the power he had was greater. Greater than Elisha. Greater than Elisha. He did 30 recorded miracles. I mean, he multiplied bread. He walked on water. That was never done before. He demonstrated the kingdom of God in a power and a demonstration that the world had never seen before. No one's ever seen it before. He was the beginning of something. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in one. We didn't know, I certainly didn't know, that he was a seed into the womb of Mary, but then he himself became a seed planted in what was his field, his generation. Now, please remember this, because I'm going to come to us in a moment. I don't know how he knew, but he knew that day he was planted. He was about his father's business, about his father's will. He didn't question why he was here. He didn't question the dark day. He came to bring light to a dark world. See, I separate him, though. I say, well, that's Jesus Christ. He was the one. No. No, no. May I? So you with me? I'm 22. Well, not now. 46 years ago now, 45 years ago. I'm dating this girl. She's been going to this Catholic charismatic prayer group. I mean, I was so in love, but I didn't let her know. And when I saw her, you would do this. And the inside and the outside, I was like, hey, baby, how you doing? Hi, yeah. So she's nagging me to go. So finally, I agree. And we go. Man, all it took was one time. It was weird. They were strange, but someone was there. So somebody got up and said, anybody here want to be born again? Well, I didn't know the word. It means born from above. I had no idea what was happening. I left church a long time ago. I had no idea what was going on, really. And so I said, yes, can you believe that same seed from here with the potential of the fullness of the kingdom of heaven, that seed, it was like a mustard seed. The seed, I was born again by an incorruptible seed by the word of God. And he put that seed in me as he did with her. I had no idea that the potential of the fullness of God was in us. I didn't know that. I just got born again and I would cry for the first year. I had no idea the potential and what God was intending to do. You okay? What he was going to do was plant this seed in you and I, and then plant you and I in our world. That as he, I love this moment, and I'm trying to go slow, I'm watching, I know I have to be better at this. At this moment, he understands that he's the leaven. All through our Bible, leaven's negative, because it takes over. In this case, it's positive. Jesus, when he was planted in that generation, he revolutionized it. He had influence at every level of it. He changed not only his generation, he's still changing generations. Right now. We're the result of that one seed that went into the ground. Oh, I thought it was. I had no idea. I don't know why I was planted here. I didn't understand the reason for it. I was looking for something. I didn't realize that he had planted me there, that you and I would be fruitful beyond measure in the character, nature, and disposition of this invisible kingdom of heaven. You do know this throne here, where this one who sits upon it, this throne was once a throne of wrath. It appeared that he was angry. That's what it appeared like. But now this is a throne of grace. I had no idea that this heavens is full of glory and full of life. And there's a door opened here. And this place we came from so that we could always come from this place. And that he's desiring to manifest this place through us. Jesus says a weird thing because they asked him. Thomas was like, you know, Jesus, I got a question for you. Philip too, right? Philip, I'm not talking. You know, we appreciate the multiple kinds of bread. We all really do. Everything you've done, we think is really cool. But one question. We want to see the Father. And he just kind of said, I know it's hard to believe, though, but I came so that you would see him. When you see me, you see him. My brothers and sisters, it's amazing to me, and I need to close, that he put this seed in us. And the potential of this seed has no limitations to it. So in you and I is the power of the kingdom of God, in a demonstration of power. He said to the disciples, you know the works I've done? They said, dude, you're like off. You're off the chain. You're like unreal. You're the one. He goes, no, you don't get it, do you? Not only will you do what I've done, you'll do greater. It was hard for them to believe, me too. But I want you to know this morning that the Lord is intending to re-sow us in the world again. And that you and I carry to our neighborhoods, to our schools, our colleges, our stores, our coffee shops, wherever you may go, whatever our banks, whatever it is, not with some attitude, not with some fight. No. We're carrying with us the kingdom of God in its power demonstration, and the kingdom of heaven, its demonstration of character, love, passion, unquestionable forgiveness, incredible, undescribable love that's beyond belief. And he's planting us there. Now, I only had one problem with all that. See, I didn't like when she said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who plants his seed in the soil and then tares are around it. The enemy plants them. Well, I spent my whole life tearing them up. Yeah, I know you're fine. I would go to work. Who's the enemy? I don't like him. I would look at my neighbors and go, you're a tear. I started finding other wheat. Let's us all wheat together. You buy here, let's all live together. Here he said, oh, no. I'm putting you amongst the tares. Oh, it helped me. Because I was exhausting myself at taking out the very things he's allowed. I just want to end with this. How do we know the difference between a tare and a wheat? Because it shows up. What is it? Well, they look identical. When they're fully grown, the wheat has all these seeds, because you know what we do? We seed too. Seeds in me, I'm a seed, we seed. That's what we do. Seed, I'm doing it now. Fun. It's what we do. The tare has no seeds. So what happens as the wheat's getting more seed, it does this. And the tare stands up like this. I thought the bigger I got, the better they would see me. PhD, two PhDs, doctor, get a nicer car. Yeah. I realized, no. Just walk humbly, Jay. But understand, God is about to do something we have never seen before. And it's a day to believe in his power and his might and his majesty and know that we're demonstrating a Jesus they're longing for, who loves and cares, has humility, forgives in a way that's not possible to forgive. And he's allowed us, as he was planted in his generation, we are planted in our generation. We're a nation surrounding the earth. What potential do we have to change our world? He's doing it now. Father, thank you for Father, thank you for this, just this morning, this gathering. Lord, I just pray with even my, whatever I'm doing here, sharing this incredible mystery, really, that we would just get a grip on what you're doing in our lives, that how honored we are, that the potential of the Godhead lays within all of us, not just me, Pastor, us. The power and the might of the kingdom of God is in us. Not someday might be. It is. It is ours. There's no debt to it. But Lord, my cry is that this mysterious kingdom of heaven, this hidden thing that was revealed in Christ, that is seen in the life of Jesus, that would be our pursuit. That in this generation, they would identify with his power and his might to heal and recover and restore. but also would know him and his love and his passion, and that we might be a generation that the world will write about and say, when we saw them, we saw their God. So that's my dream, that Jesus might be seeing us. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How about giving the Lord a hand for me? Good, a little bit? Yeah, a little? 5 minutes? Yeah. So everybody said, yeah, good. So, young lady, are you a teenager? Yeah, you. Yes. Oh, you are. So I'll see you on Wednesday? Okay. So we'll just take care of that business then. But you're awesome. I just got to tell you right now. You really are. Yeah, she is. She's really something. You good? You're okay. Yeah. So my brother, listen, because you guys are, you know, this, their anniversary is tomorrow, by the way. Yeah.
You good, man.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah. Shh, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to make me look good. No, it is. That's all. Yeah, so it is. But I just want to listen. It really is incredible, this transformation that the Lord has worked within you. It is. I mean, your releasing of her, your releasing of your family, your allowing her to position herself in the kingdom of God. I just want you to know the Lord's taken huge delight in it. Many men could not do it. Many men, if they're not in charge, have to be the number one, the head of the whole deal. You know, we just got to be the absolute leader. You know, so it's part of that's what's killing us as men. But you have taken this incredible role. It hasn't made you less of a man at all. It's made her even a greater woman. It's made your marriage better than it ever could have been with you making that position. You have to know that Deborah's husband is very much the same way. But the Lord is revisiting you to reestablish his covenant. It's not like I did the fellow this morning. It wasn't so much reestablishing it was. It's in enlarging it. Every time he comes to Abraham, it's for the purpose of enlargement. And I love when the Lord draws near in this way, though, because he's just going to increase the covenant. What it does, it causes me to believe. Here's a man 100 years old. Can you imagine the Lord comes and says, you will have a son? I mean, Abraham, to believe something that impossible to me is incredible. But the idea was, though, that was he began to level the impossibilities. And there's not a man in this room that doesn't weigh out impossibilities, probabilities. It's how we live. It's how we're breeded that way. But he comes in this visitation to cause this man to believe what's not believable, to cause this man a hope which has no hope in it. Incredible. And you're just going to see the Lord do this for your family, even the financial dream, the dream home, things that you've kind of, you keep in, a lot of things you keep in here. You're like me. I talk very little, but my head goes like this. You know, you're not that, you're just not the talker as much. She tends to be, you know. Anyways, a little bit, just a slightly more, but you're just going to see this place, and I know some of the earlier battles and the earlier struggles of that dynamic. You've overcome them, and sometimes the Lord was there to visit, and sometimes he didn't. He let you just kind of walk through things without comforting you. Part of that was just to stretch the skin a little bit so that he might pour in more than you could have ever dreamed of. So really, my friend, it's the beginning of a new day of the Lord. It's the beginning of the visitation of the Lord. It's the beginning of the enlargement of the Lord. And you're going to see him take your financial wizardry and your understanding of finances and really begin to create some wealth, and some things are going to change. And it's going to cause to bring some dreams to your life, just so that you begin to understand things that you would not have otherwise. It's just what the Lord will do. Yeah, good. Yeah, my friend over here that I met, I love the hair, the everything, the ripped jeans, skin color, everything about you I love. I do. I wish I could wear those jeans, so my wife would throw them away if I wore those. But I just want to tell you, I love those jeans. Yeah. Yeah, I get a little hole in it. They're gone. You're not a teenager anymore, she tells me. Really? Thanks. Yeah. My friend, listen, you're really at a crossroad in your life. You are. And you've chosen the Lord. You really have. And you've made some changes. You've really denied some things and pulled away from things, made some turns. And really, my friend, your mom's grandmother has been the one who really cried out for your life and the young people in her lives. And that was a woman of real prayer, but yet lived in real agony, but a real believing for it. And so the Lord has really come to bring you into the kingdom. So it isn't like this thing where he comes after me like he's hunting me down. But when he draws near, it's undeniable. Whenever he appears to me or we see him, I'm a changed man. And so this crossroad you're at is really choosing something you believe, but it's choosing to be a disciple, a young man who will walk with him. I want you to know on the other side of this decision, the Lord is already creating things for your life to be full, for even for decisions on what I should do. Should it be education? Should I work? A career? All those things the Lord is working out. It's amazing to me when a man makes a decision, what could have been, he just changes like that. He's the only one that could do it. Where my life would have gone, he immediately rewrites it. And he's able to bring, to bury the valleys, to raise the valleys, bring down the mountains, and cause what would have been a disastrous 30 years of my life to instantly change. And boy, he is so at work for you right now. And that's how beautiful he is, though. He's just waiting for a man to make a decision. So the day that I got born again, everything changes. But the day that I became a disciple, everything changed. And the day that I said, you know what, I don't care what's going on, I'm yours, everything changed. It was just this progressiveness. I could have backed off any time I wanted to. His love didn't change for me, but what he wanted was for Jay LaRue to reach the goal and become everything he intended, and for Jay LaRue's world to be fully affected, not by my name, by us. And dude, the hand of the Lord was on you in your mother's womb, turned you to make sure that things would work out right. You really don't know how many times in your young life he stood in the way of things that would have come against you and things that could have happened to you. He stood there, even with you prodding him, pushing your way in, he stood between to make sure that nothing would happen to you. That's the kind of care he has for you. But I know a whole generation that didn't even like him, and he still loved them and cared for them. This is our God. This is how incredible he is. But that's the one. So at this crossroad, will he be angry and upset? No, no. He'll meet you again. But this is a real moment of time, though, that the next 10 years of your life, especially through your 30s, would be just a totally different thing. Your choice, though. He would never make you do it. But I'm just here to tell you, dude, yo, I could see it. And what the Lord wants to bring and wants to do is beyond your imagination. Really is. But through you, he'll touch your entire family and your friends, because you're always were popular with everybody, girls and the guys too. You just were that, you just got that, you know, you got that thing, man. Got that personality. I try to think I have it, and I do a little dancing up front and think that I'm cool and I really got rhythm. No, I know. I'm packaged real tight. It doesn't work very well. But I do feel it a little. So just know, my brother, that's really, the Lord really wants to make those kinds of changes. My young sister, I just want to encourage you a little bit, okay? Beautiful dress, by the way. Yes, saw you walk in. There's such a future here in this church and in this place for you. Even before you made a way in here, the Lord already was planning. There's this incredible Ruth heart and Ruth spirit that you have. And I love everything about Ruth. And I just can't go over her whole life, though. But if you know the book, you know her. Tender-hearted, very much a nurse, very much a mother. And the Lord has really built that very nature within you. That would be my profession if I'm going to choose something for you to do. It'd be some level of caring for people, whether it was children, adults, you were born to do that, born to be a caregiver, born to, and on top of that, you have a real ability to teach and mentor. So you got this duality that comes to you, which is really fantastic. So just know, though, that really it's not been so much of a, well, there was a room and I'm lucky. No. The Lord had it all orchestrated, the whole thing, to bring you here, to arrange the opening, and really spent your whole life building that character. And you're an absolute treasure to this place, an absolute balm of Gilead, an oil of joy, if you will, that just everywhere you pour on, it just changes people's lives. And so he wants to, and I'm going to say this very carefully, he wants to spread you out. And everything I say obviously goes through him, the leadership here, but he wants to spread you out, not just in one little place, and you're more comfortable, not so much in a box, but if you can know the parameters and what I'm supposed to do and how it's to be, and I know I work in here. No, the Lord really wants to open up and use you in a much greater way. He'll double it, he'll triple it. It's almost like the Phoenician woman with the jars. The more you're willing to pour out, the more he'll pour in. So I realize that's kind of his math. And so, young lady, he's elated with you. He's just, you bring tremendous joy to his heart. Amen. Yeah, he just, right now, that's part of the thing with prophecy. We don't really get it in the written word, but the emotion of God and the heartbeat of him is just beyond anything I've ever known. I mean, God so loved the world, yeah, it's written there. But his passion for people, his heartbeat for you, immeasurable. That's exactly what you do for people. Yeah.